today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Alaska and Hawaiian are becoming one airline, and we'll tell you what that means in the short term. Plus, the Grand Prix is coming back to Vegas in November. If you want to go, bring your wallet. Those stories and more next in the news.
In our Smarter Traveler Tip segment at 11:25, we point out the importance of being careful of which link you click on to buy your travel and the hazards of booking with a third party.
The government is investigating frequent flyer programs. Consumer advocate Chris Elliott joins us at 11:35 for what is bound to be a lively conversation on the merits of miles and points.
In our odds and ends section of the show at 11:55, we review a list of what international travelers love about coming to our United States. And we have a safety reminder about online postings while you travel.
You found the program where you can actually learn about the ins and outs of travel. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
Welcome, welcome everyone to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thank you for dialing in, listening to us live, or picking us up on the podcast. Glad to be here. Mark, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing good. I've been in town mostly this week. I wanted to talk a little bit about an adventure that some sports leisure travelers had this week. For those of you who might be new to the broadcast, I'm a tour operator and have a company in town called Sports Leisure Vacations, and we take mature travelers mostly to a variety of destinations. This week, we took a group down to Hollywood for a three-day, two-night tour to kind of immerse them in how things are put together and what goes on in Hollywood. And one of the things that they do is go to a TV show taping and sit in the audience.
I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah, well, it's usually like Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune or something like that. But every once in a while, you'll get something else. And this week, our group really lucked out into being able to be in the audience for America's Got Talent. And apparently, it's the final program.
Oh my gosh!
And yeah, so they slipped into something kind of totally by accident.
You know that if I don't know if people actually have to buy those. If they do, that's a big ticket, my friend. That's like the Super Bowl of game show stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. There are companies in Hollywood that put together the audiences that solicit people to be a part of the audience. And of course, tour groups are great because they show up with 30 or 40 people at a time. So that helps make your job easier. But they tell folks, you know, we had to relay to our folks, please all dress in dark colors and no logoed wear and stuff like that. So they need you to be. And of course, the better you do, the better you show up looking, then the better seats that you tend to get in the.
Really?
In the theater. So because if the camera's going to be on you, why the guys that are operating the cameras, the producers and stuff like that, they want to make sure that that they've got, you know, what they that they can get shots of people in the audience that will look good. But it was kind of cool. I heard from our tour director and she said, yes, it was cool. It was just late and loud. She said some of the people got to meet Simon Cowell. But it was their first day of the trip, so it was a long, long, long day. But anyway, some sports leisure travelers got up close and personal with America's Got Talent, you know. And so our folks will come home and they will have bragging rights for a couple days. And I'll just tell you, as a tour operator, you know, you like to make dreams come true. If you can give people bragging rights, why then then you've done your job.
Wow. You know, here we've got people right here in our own community that were there. Taping was what, like yesterday or this past Thursday?
Yeah.
And they know who won. and all the rest of us are going to have to wait till Tuesday.
I wonder how they deal with that. What they do? Do they make people, or do they run the audience out and then announce the, you know, the winner at the very end?
You got to find out.
I guess we absolutely will. Anyways.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so on with the show.
Okay, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition of the travel news, once again, here's Mark Hoffman.
Hey, last weekend we told you that there was a real chance that Air Canada pilots would go on strike sometime this week. They were able to avoid the strike as Air Canada made the pilots an offer. But to say the pilots are not pleased would sort of be an understatement. So it's the Air Canada thing is not settled, and it's possible that that could still be an issue. So if you are an Air Canada flyer from Sacramento to Vancouver or Toronto, or they're part of the Star Alliance with United, it's entirely possible you could take a United plane to Toronto, Calgary, Montreal, something like that, and ended up on an Air Canada flight later on. So just keep an eye on that if you are flying on Air Canada in the next couple of months. Mexico has come up with this really bizarre customs laptop and tablet rule that I wanted to just share with people. A woman was fined $200 at the Cancun airport for bringing both a laptop and a tablet through customs. Apparently, if you're going into Mexico, you are limited to one laptop, notebook, omnibook, or other portable computing device. If you exceed that limit, you have to pay a 19% tax on the value up to $4,000. So 19% on $4,000 would be about $750. So that would be a lot. It really is a rule. Cell phones do not count into that, but basically if you're going to Mexico, it's also the person who wrote this story said that it's not widely enforced. It's kind of enforced at random. So if you take more than one, nothing's going to happen to you except that they're going to take some money from you at the border. So if you're a person who travels with a lot of electronics over the Mexican border, that's something to keep an eye on. Carnival is seeking alternative ports for Alaska cruises, with Juno limiting cruise ship visits and popular ports at Skagway and Ketchikan also pretty full. Carnival is looking for alternative ports for Alaskan cruises, including a couple of places in Canada, including Prince Rupert, which is a really nice coastal city to explore. So maybe Alaska's overflow will help some other communities. It's really tough, though. If you get three, four, five of those big cruise ships in a town of 5,000 people, and suddenly you've tripled the population for the day, people are just overwhelmed. So it's one reason I'm not a big fan of large cruise ships, is they tend to accumulate in one area and overwhelm the local. It's great for the local tourism folks because they can make a lot of money, but it's not always the best experience for travelers. U.S. has opened online renewals for expiring passports. You can now renew expiring or recently expired passports online, eliminating the need for a cumbersome mail-in process. That's really, really good news if you've got a passport coming up. The Marriott CEO says he wants to shift to emotional loyalty. I read this, and I had to read it three times before I realized that really what he was talking about is they've found that travelers want instant gratification rewards. So they don't want to save 50,000 points for a room night somewhere. They want somebody to hand them a candy bar or a drink coupon or something like that. So Marriott is looking at their rewards program and trying to come up with some other ideas. This is kind of a cool thing. United Airlines and the San Francisco 49ers have announced an Eco Skies Alliance, becoming the first NFL team with an agreement to buy sustainable aviation fuel. United will use sustainable fuel for all of the team's game-related flying. Speaking of airplanes, Alaska and United Airlines have been cleared for merging. The Department of Transportation said that the two carriers can go through with their merger agreement. But, and this is a big but, this has never happened before. They also must, there are some things they have to do that are not things that have ever been asked of any other airline mergers in the past. They have to maintain the value of their frequent flyer miles programs. In other words, They can't say, well, now that we've picked up Hawaiian, you know, our miles are worth more to Alaska. So your Hawaiian miles are going to convert at 2-1 or 3-1. Mm-hmm. So they can't do that. They can't raise the amount of points significantly for routes. We're going to talk to Chris Elliott about that exact subject later in the program. They also have to keep several essential air support routes for rural areas in the island. Think Molokai and some places like that. So, and they have to maintain current levels of service for passenger and cargo routes between all of the islands. So it's a little different merger, but dare I say, of all the airline mergers, this one seems to make sense. It really does. People fly to Hawaii in the winter. They fly to Alaska mainly in the summer. So this should be a good thing, I think, for consumers. Alaska has said that consumers will see some improvements right away. Some other things the DOT says is they have to seat families together without charge. And there's some other things that some consumer rights folks, like our friends at Travelers United, have been pushing for that are actually now going to happen. Let's see here. How fast can we get through the rest of this stuff here? Minneapolis tops U.S. airports for traveler satisfaction. I haven't been in the Minneapolis airport for a long time. That's a Delta hub. But if you fly Delta and you fly through Minneapolis, you are getting a better experience there in most airports, according to folks who answered this survey. Expedia is launching digital storefronts for travel influencers. So in other words, online, travel influencers now are going to have their own storefronts. I don't know if this is such a good idea or not, because these people basically go places and then create reviews and stuff like that. If they know they're making a profit from the review that they give you if you buy it, that may change the integrity of that review just a little bit. Mm-hmm. The Waldorf Astoria, a famous old hotel in New York City, is reopening in late 2024 with some residences. You will be able to live in the Waldorf Astoria. Las Vegas is getting its motor running for the Grand Prix's return. It will be back the third week of November this year. Last year, they got a lot of criticism because of the price of the tickets. This year, the tickets still start at $500.
I know.
But they will have a few more of them than they did last year, and they will have more tickets in the price ranges immediately above that. So you can get a certain type of pass, or you can buy daily tickets. They're not cheap. They start at $250 a day, $350 for Saturday. So anyways, if you're a racing fan and you went to the Grand Prix last year in Las Vegas, or you're thinking about going back this year, there you go. You have an opportunity to be able to go. Just don't forget to bring your wallet. And that's your travel news for today.
With a lot of money in it. All right. And we are the Travel Guys. Remember now, check us out at travelguysradio.com. Links to our guests and so much more can be found there on a daily basis. Thanks for coming along. The other day, I went online to see if I could, book something. And I type in what I'm looking for and, a bunch of stuff comes up. And right at the top looks like what I want. In fact, right. I remember back in the days, whatever, that was it. You'd get the best thing, what you were looking at first, and then there'd be other stuff after it. But as I began to drill into it, and then drill into the next one, it looked somewhat suspicious.
Yeah, yeah. Those are people who paid to... You went online and typed Hilton.com or something like that, and what happens is that people who paid a whole lot of money to supersede, and sometimes what you'll find is that Hilton.com will buy their own upgrade, so that keeps them at the top of the heap. But I'm just using an example here. I don't know what happens when you pull up Hilton.com, but when you pull up many hotel companies, airlines, things like that, especially if you slightly misspell it, you will find that you are often taken, or your first opportunities are for other sponsored places. Booking.com is famous for this. So you might type in that you wanted a hotel in Hilton Hotel in San Antonio, and you think it would take you to the Hilton site, but no, it takes you to Booking.com, which then gives you a list of hotels in San Antonio that they can book. Now, many of these online booking places are very reputable. And so, and you probably won't have any issues with them, but not all of them are. And unfortunately, as I was preparing for this piece the other day, I went online, did a little bit of research myself, and about half the time I ended up on sites that looked a lot like what the site was supposed to look like, except it wasn't that site.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you have to really be careful about clicking on the wrong link, because then you're not booking through the people that you thought you were booking through. Maybe you're not as familiar with what their cancellation policies and the like might be. And so now your chances of getting trapped in a situation, you need to move your date. And at Hilton.com, you just log in and you change it and, you know, pay the different price, or long as a room is available. But some of these other places, they may not have a room available from Hilton on that hotel on that night. So they have to charge you quite a bit more money, or they want a fee when you when you make a change that maybe the original entity wouldn't have. Same thing when you're booking not just hotels, but cruise lines would be like this. Tour operators. If you went in and entered Sports Leisure Vacations, I don't know if we would come up on top, or if you'd have a couple of other tour operators that would come up ahead of us. Maybe if you asked Sports Leisure Vacations New York City. So then you might have some operators come up that offer packages in New York City above our name. And if you weren't paying a whole lot of attention, why, then you could end up down a rabbit hole. So those things are really a danger of first clicking on the wrong link, but you're not paying close attention. But then the other half of this is, you really are taking a risk if you choose to book with a third party. Now, like I said, some third parties are very good. You know, Booking.com and some others have been around for a long time, and they wouldn't have been there that long and done that much business if they were putting the screws to people all the time. But I have found, and other travel advocates will tell you this, you're better off to book directly with the people who are selling you the product if you possibly can. Because then if something comes up, it's a lot easier to work through it.
Now, you've talked about this before, and I wanted to bring it up, that you can use this search and these third-party companies to kind of compare prices. You can see what they're offering, what kind of deals they have. And then I think you recommended that what you do is you take that information and you contact, probably on the phone, directly to the Marriott or to the hotel that you want to stay. And then when you're booking, you can let them know that, well, I've seen this price on Booking.com or wherever it is. And in some cases, they'll give you that rate.
Yes, they will. It's worth at least asking for. Mm-hmm. Or in some cases, you will find they will explain to you that, well, this rate that we've given you includes breakfast. And the Booking.com rate doesn't include breakfast. So therefore, for an extra $10 in New York City, you're getting a $35 breakfast, which that's about what breakfast costs in the Marriott in New York City in Times Square. So there may very well be an extra tweak or perk to booking with to booking directly. Also, many times you will find the people that are selling the products will have bonus points, bonus miles, things like that that you get because you booked directly with them. They're not paying it. If you think Booking.com and these other folks do this for free, they don't. The hotels, the cruise lines, the tour operators pay them a commission in order to take care of you. So in some cases, you can book directly with the people who produce the travel product and get a little better price because you don't have to pay that commission.
Good. All right. All righty, my friends. This is Mark and Tom. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and time to take a couple of minutes and talk about Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. Mark, what's your favorite part of Rudy's?
Oh, I like the seafood. I'm not a lobster guy. We've talked about this before. I like crab, but I'm not a lobster. You would think they're fairly similar, but to me, there's a little different flavor there. But, you know, Rudy's is known for their seafood, but I kind of like, you know, a hunk of cow once in a while when I go to Rudy's.
Well, right now they got a little bit of a combination that I think you're going to love. It's a combination of a filet, petite filet and a petite lobster tail. So you can combine those together. $34.95. You can get all the fixings with it, some that sourdough French bread, as we talked about the other day, as Mark pointed out, some drawn butter that you don't actually have to draw yourself. They'll draw it for you right there on a napkin. And of course, if that's not your fixins, then you can go for the Travel Guys special, which is a 6-ounce lobster tail. You know, I love their scampi. They're large. Mm-hmm. They're sweet. They're dripping in butter. But if you like cow, their prime rib is to die for. Open for lunch and dinner. Rudy's Hideaway every Tuesday through Friday, and 7 nights a week for your favorite meal right off of Highway 50 at Hazel. Tell Rudy's the Travel Guy sent you. Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Links to our special guest can be found today at TravelGuysRadio.com. And back with the Travel Guys as we head across the pond to Ireland. Let's bring on our consumer advocate and travel expert, Chris Elliott, to the show.
So, Chris, what's up in Ireland?
It's a nice, cool, late summer day here. And actually, it's been raining most of today, but it's starting to get nice again.
We have a group headed for Ireland in about 10 days. So it is a favorite destination of sports leisure travelers. Where do you go next?
It's Ireland for the next 2 months, actually. So I'll be staying here and just, maybe getting to know the place a little bit better. And then from there, I'm headed to Istanbul.
How long have you been traveling the planet now? 3-4 years?
Well, since 2017, full time. But before then, almost full time. So it's been a while.
Wow. So your list of places that you've been is long. Is there some place on your list of I want to go there that you haven't been to yet?
Ooh, good question. There are a couple of destinations in Asia that I've really wanted to see. I am hoping to get to Okinawa and Taiwan in the early part of next year, and I really want to go back to New Zealand as well.
Wow. Well, we're kind of living your travel dream along with you as you make your way along around the planet.
Has this been your first trip to Ireland for you and your son?
No, I was here a long time ago, like 1973. So I was a boy actually back then, and don't remember very much.
Okay.
I have like little small like memories here and there that are coming back to me as I walk down the streets.
Yeah,
but no, it's been a long time.
Is there one thing in Ireland that has made an impression on you during your stay so far, good, bad, or otherwise? Just that you'd like to share?
You know, the one thing that I found really shocking was how nice people are. I'm sure I'm not the first person to say this, but people are just so friendly here. And it may just be because I'm an American, but I see them being nice to everyone.
It's a thread that seems to permeate with Ireland, more so than England or Scotland,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
when visitors come back from Ireland, what you have just said about people being friendly and nice and them just feeling comfortable there and stuff. All right, listen, we've enough for Ireland. We have something really important here to talk about. Last week you penned an article about maybe it was time to regulate airline loyalty programs, and about 24 hours later, right on cue, the Department of Transportation came along behind you and said, hey, maybe it's about time we regulate these airline frequent flyer programs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have sat here and watched in my day, we've gone from award programs with airlines where there were defined charts and with 6 or 7 levels, and depending on when you were flying and where you were flying to, determined what your price of your free ticket, how many points or miles or whatever currency you were going to have to use to get that ticket. And as long as it was available, that was what it costs. And then we started seeing on some, you know, busy periods, this kind of dynamic pricing, which has permeated concert and sporting events and all other kinds of tickets. And so now we're in a point where it's just a free man's game out there. You never know what an airline ticket or a hotel room is going to cost you, what it cost you the last time, or on a similar date at a similar time of year has nothing to do with anything. These, to the extent, Chris, that regularly online, I'm sure you see this, Hilton Honors points are referred to as Hilton Pesos because they have such a little value. And many other frequent flyer programs are the same. So anyway, enough of my pontificating about things. We have these airlines that literally are kind of running their own program. They sell points. They offer tickets. They do pretty much whatever they want with their currency. Why is this a bad thing for travelers?
Well, the economics of it are all wrong, first of all. I mean, if you took away all the loyalty programs, the airlines would all have to file for bankruptcy tomorrow. It would, and there's just no doubt about that.
Wow.
This is what we're seeing here is the tail wagging the dog. And the reason why that's possible is because these programs are almost completely unregulated. What the DOT has said is that it's concerned about unfair and deceptive practices. In other words, you collect points or miles and you have an expectation that you're going to be able to get, as you say, free ticket, although it's technically not free. You've paid for it by spending money. But you're going to get an award ticket. And then they move the goalposts so that you can't get that ticket. Maybe they're using dynamic pricing or they've changed their redemption levels. But at some point, the miles that you thought you were going to need, you need more miles, and or you have to pay an extra fee, like some kind of a redemption fee for getting the ticket, usually at the last minute. And all this just strikes the average frequent flyer as profoundly unfair. It is unfair, and now the government is saying it's unfair.
So what can we expect next from the DOT? What can we expect the government to do? We talked a lot about on this show that they don't really care much about the rewards programs anymore. They just want you to have their credit card and buy stuff in hopes of getting points, not having to do with how many miles you fly.
Interestingly, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is also launching a parallel probe of credit cards. So they're very concerned about the billions, tens of billions of dollars being made here by the banks, the credit card companies, and the airlines. None of it is free. Someone is paying for this. Ultimately, if you start to think about it, you're the one paying for it as the frequent flyer because you're oftentimes paying more for a ticket that you could have gotten for less money by flying on a different airline. You're flying a less convenient schedule, or you're just using one of the cards and you're spending a lot of money on that credit card and they're making a lot of money in swipe fees and that sort of thing. So really, the economics, it's a little bit complex, but basically, it's not a good deal for people. I think that even if you ask someone who is really a big apologist of loyalty programs, are these loyalty programs better for you or better for the airline? They would all agree that they're better for the airline or the credit card company. And I think that that really goes to the heart of what the DOT is alleging here in this probe, is that the programs have become quite unfair and something needs to be done to right the ship.
We're talking with Chris Elliott, our favorite consumer advocate here on the Travel Guys. You can find Chris, there is a link to his website at travelguysradio.com. He has a free and a paid portion of his website, depending on the type of information and how deep you want to get into things. I use it extensively, both for personal travel and for the Travel Guys radio show, so it's something that you should take a look into. Chris, there is another aspect of this where I see the airlines making a few extra bucks, too, is they've now come up with this deal where cash plus miles. So now if you thought that you were going to get that ticket for 40,000 miles and, by God, you made it to your goal and you go online and you find out, wow, the 40,000-mile ticket is now 60,000 miles. However, the airline, in their kindness, in their incredible kindness, have decided that, you know what, it's unfortunate that you only have the 40,000 miles, but I tell you what we'll do. If you'll throw 200 bucks into the kitty, we'll take your 40,000 miles and the 200 bucks and sell you the $500 and give you the $500 award ticket, and everybody will live happily ever after. The only problem, of course, is that you're now out a couple hundred dollars of your money, as you mentioned, you know, extra fees, extra charges, extra things. And the airlines promote this as being, oh, what a wonderful thing. And if you do the math, you will figure out that what they're, that the combination of the miles they're taking and the money that they're charging you is a greater cost than if you just had enough miles to buy the ticket, or heaven forbid, you just went and bought the ticket for cash.
I couldn't have said it better myself. That's absolutely, it's one of the huge problems now is that they, so, you know, just to back up a little bit here, airlines are making most of their money by selling miles to the credit card companies. That's where they're getting like a huge amount of their income from. And so if they can sell the miles to you, that's even better. And the problem with this unfair and deceptive allegation that the DOT is making here, and it hasn't said that it's unfair and deceptive, it said it's concerned about it being unfair and deceptive, is that basically these miles can then be devalued. The moving of the goalposts, as I mentioned before, they can say, oh, well, you know, now it's 60,000 miles, but oh, if you want to go to Hawaii, you know, at Christmas, it's going to cost you 120,000 miles. And then so then you have to pay even more money and buy even more miles. So it really is, it's the game is rigged to the point where the airlines are going to win every single time. And unless you spend a lot of time, a lot of your own time, trying to study the programs and finding hacks and workarounds, you're going to get taken by it.
Isn't it amazing that the airline's business model has changed so much that they really don't give a damn whether you buy a ticket and fly on the airplane or not? As long as when you go to the grocery store or the camera shop or Amazon, you use their credit card. As you point out frequently, Chris, and other bloggers do, it's now very possible to get high up status on airlines and hotels just by what you do with your credit card, what type of spend you do, how much extra money you're willing to put up. So really, for those of you road warriors who are out there who have always, you know, by God, I'm going to do that mileage run to make sure that I maintain my status with the airline. Listen, I've done it before myself and might do it again at the end of this year. But this just leaves a really bad taste in my mouth. And you can't help but believe that at the end of the day, if you do the math, you know, if you bought the tickets yourself for cash, would you really have had a better deal than if you'd have done all this jumping through hoops and done all these things and changed your purchasing patterns and things like that so you can make sure that you use this one credit card? And it's gotten us all into a situation, I think, where we are slaves to the credit cards. And I'm not in favor of more government regulation in just about any instance, but this might be one case where the government could step in and say, all right, you guys, enough of this shell game over here. You know, we're going to tell people what this stuff costs, and we're going to have some regulations and some rules you have to play by. And my sense is that Airlines for America will be up in arms immediately. We will hear from them first post haste, yeah, because that's the airlines lobbying group, and they will scream bloody murder on this. But it really is time, folks. We really are getting taken to the cleaners. And some of us who can pile up lots of miles are not going to the cleaners as often as others. But it's not a good deal. Chris, thanks. Thanks for your take and your thoughts on this. Anything else before we let you go?
No, you know, I mean, I think you have it right. They shouldn't call themselves Airlines for America, because remember that these are not airlines we're talking about here. These are financial institutions that happen to be also flying planes. So maybe they should start calling themselves, you know, Banks for America or something like that. I think that name's taken already.
Yeah.
Goldman Sachs United for America.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mark likes to call them Airlines for Airlines.
Yeah, Airlines for Airlines.
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
We regularly tell folks, if you see Airlines for America on anything, run for the quickest exit, because it has no good is going to become of anything like that. Chris, be safe in Ireland, and we'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
All right.
Can you imagine leaving home one day and not coming back for years because you're on the road working and seeing sights and places that most people will never see, and then call it a job.
Yeah, and he's got he had all three of his kids with him to start with.
Yep.
And then his daughter dropped out, and then one of his sons dropped out, I think, to come back to school. But he's still got one of his sons with him. What an incredible opportunity as a young adult, to be able to go all of these places. And, of course, Chris has a lot of connections. Not only are you getting to go all these places, but you're seeing them in a way that very few people. And imagine how that's going to impact the way you look at the rest of your life. I mean, this is the reason people travel. And what we've seen, Tom, post-COVID, people elevated travel. They didn't realize until they couldn't do it how important it was to them. And I think it will remain elevated for a long time. The huge demand, post-COVID demand, is dying off. But I think that travel, instead of being sixth on some people's list, is going to be third for a long time.
You know, the only drawback that I see is that when you get off the road, and we've talked about this before too, and you go back to a normal lifestyle, if you want to call it that, there is a kind of a withdrawal symptoms.
Oh, I get it completely. I'm on the road a lot, and I get that a lot.
Yeah,
I feel that myself when I come home. Or, you know, and the bed's not made and the garbage isn't emptied and, you know.
you get itchy feet. Stuff. You want to go. You want to go.
That's exactly right. Though if you travel for a living, why then you see something and you're like, oh.
Okay, Mark, let's talk about international travel. And what people love about coming to the United States.
Yeah, the U.S. Travel Association says, now last year, according to U.S. Travel, 67 million international tourists visited the United States. 67 million visited the United States, spending approximately $155 billion. Do you know that our number one export, so to speak, isn't energy or grain or anything like that? The thing we make the most money on is inbound international travelers. They support our economy to a level that nothing else does.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought it was Taylor Swift was our number one exported.
Wherever she is, she's the number one export or import at the time. Yeah. The number one revenue producer. So anyway, international tourists are big business for the United States. And so U.S. Travel asked them, what do you like about coming here? People around the world, particularly youth, are drawn to American music, films, and brands. But the experience of visiting the States lets them interact with American people and culture up close, which is really the thing that reoccurs theme-wise. Anyway, here are five things that international tourists love about American culture. Number one, open, friendly, positive people. You know, we forget we're all in this, you know, political battle all the time, and we're all, you know, about political related issues. And isn't it interesting that international tourists say we're open, friendly, positive people? Americans aren't as happy as the people in stock photography. But people of other countries do notice that we smile a lot, have an optimistic attitude, and are often willing to talk to and help strangers. So that's kind of cool that, you know, people who come here, let's go down the list here. Second on the list, a variety of food and lots of it. Foreign visitors often comment on how much food is available, how many choices there are, and how much more affordable it is than in their own country. They apparently haven't traveled a lot in California. And free refills on soft drinks and stuff absolutely blow their mind. One visitor from Singapore commented, Americans cook as if it were the end of the world and you want a final luxurious meal for every single meal.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is true. And when we travel, and I think a lot of people would agree, that's what you're after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is. Let's see. Third on the list here, willingness to try new things. American culture values having diverse experiences and taking a risk to pursue your dreams. If you fail, yes, there are some people who laugh or try to bring you down, but mostly you'll be encouraged, commended for trying, and encouraged to see it as a learning experience. So I guess that kind of fits into being positive, open, friendly people. Fourth on the list is choice and convenience. In many parts of the U.S., you don't have to go far to find a store, restaurant, bank, or whatever else you need. Nearly everything can be delivered right to your door. There is a wide variety of choices of every kind of consumer product or service. In fact, if anything, people are stressed by too many choices and not too few. So international travelers are amazed at the number of choices that we have.
Well, that's great. You know, I think we are blessed in a lot of ways to live in this country, and it's real easy to forget all of the really cool things that are here that people from other countries come here to enjoy. And man, the amount of money. I mean, that is such huge business. We never want to try to and find a way to get in the way of that.
Yes, absolutely. Fifth on their list here is Americans do holidays big. In many families, Thanksgiving is the biggest family gathering and the biggest meal centered on the biggest roasted bird that will fit in the oven. At Christmas, neighbors compete with one another to put on the most extravagant light shows at their homes. Foreigners find U.S. holidays way over the top, but pretty exciting, too. That pretty much goes for how they see American culture in general, is that it's pretty much over the top. So anyways, just a kind of a fun list of how people look at us. Now, I got one more thing here for us, Tom, before we take off here. It looks like we got about a minute or so. This is really important. If you think about this for a second, you'll go, duh. But many people do this. When you're out on vacation, don't be posting pictures to social media that say there's no one in my house right now.
Really?
Or, look, I parked my car over next to this vacant lot while I'm gone, and doesn't it look beautiful? Try not to give people clues as to where you are or where when you're going to be home. Or, you know, make some reference to the house and the fact that Uncle Charlie is there keeping an eye on things or something like that. Don't post pictures about your vacation that tell people who might know where you live or your address is sitting on your Facebook page or something like that. So be really careful. This is something I think that a lot of people overlook. So when you're out on vacation, be very careful that you're not giving clues away to people who might do bad things to your house and your belongings.
You'll have plenty of time to do that when you get home.
Amen. Amen. And I think that about wraps up a Travel Guys episode for today. Thank you all for coming along with us. Remember to dance like nobody's watching.
It's been fun, my friends. Thank you. See you next time here on the Travel Guys.
Never has the time to turn around.